Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Is it possible there exists an ancient master blueprint that holds the secret behind the events of our times? From Jonathan Kahn, best-selling author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, comes The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. In his most explosive book yet, Kahn reveals the stunning master blueprint that is unfolding before our eyes. You'll never see the world the same way again. Read The Paradigm. Available wherever fine books are sold.
More coverage now of the president's address to the United Nations. One of his topics was Iran, and he was very critical of the Iranian government. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Emphasizing that the United States has no problem with Iran's people, the president slammed its leaders, saying it's a murderous regime.
One that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing death to America, destruction to Israel, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this room.
And calling the Iranian nuclear deal an embarrassment to the United States, he suggested that the U.S. may pull out of that international accord.
A South Carolina elementary school teacher on administrative leave after giving fifth grade students an assignment that asked them to imagine being members of the Ku Klux Klan following the Civil War. The students were asked questions, if you remember the KKK, why do you think your treatment of African Americans was justified? The school district says it's taking the matter very seriously. USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Arizona Senator John McCain may again be stepping in to save Obamacare. Correspondent Chris Barnes has this report.
The Arizona GOP senator saying late Monday he has the same reservations that caused him to cast the fatal vote against an Affordable Care Act repeal measure in July. Republicans have less than 2 weeks left to repeal the health insurance law by a simple majority. McCain insisting that the Senate go through what's called regular order, meaning holding hearings, adopting amendments, and presenting a bill to the full Senate where it would need 60 votes to pass. I'm Chris Barnes.
The American Academy of Pediatrics is issuing a warning to teenagers regarding piercings and tattoos. Here's Mark Mayfield.
The American Academy of Pediatrics released its first report Monday on body fashions that are becoming more popular. The report advises teens to research a facility before getting a tattoo or piercing. The place should be clean, use fresh needles for each piercing or tattoo. Staff should wear gloves and offer tips on caring for a tattoo or piercing at home. The report explains the main risk of complication is infection.
The maker of Honey Bunches of Oats and Grape Nuts is buying Bob Evans Farms for $1.5 billion. Reuters reports Post Holdings is adding with its purchase vegetable-based side dishes and breakfast sausages to the Post portfolio. Wall Street apparently likes the deal as Bob Evans shares were up 5.6%. Bob Evans is a seller of frozen foods, including refrigerated potato, pasta, and pork sausage. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and we're going to get started in a few minutes with Real Estate Matters. Got a real interesting sessions planned for you today. Hang in. We're going to hear a word from a few of our paid sponsors, and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Bye. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
And once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and today is the 19th of September, 2017. It's a cloudy day outside. They asked me always to give you a weather forecast before we get going, so I'm going to tell you it's 64 degrees, and it looks like overnight we're going to get down to about 66. Mostly cloudy with some rain, get a little bit of that wind from the storm coming up the coast. And then if we take a look at tomorrow, it's going to be 83, 84 the following day, 83. It's sort of Groundhog Day. It's just going to go on and on. It's fall. It's cooling off in general, but it's getting there at a slower pace than I think most of us have anticipated. So what are we going to talk about today? I thought it might be good to sit down and talk as if you were a buyer coming in to talk to me on a first session. And we try to do this with buyers when they get started, just so they have an understanding of what it takes to buy a house. So this would be a buyer counseling session. And whether or not you've bought a house before or have never bought a house before, I think you'll find the information to be somewhat eye-opening. First things first, let's talk about the types of buyers there are. The very first-time buyer is what we call just that, a first-time buyer. Most of those are probably between 25 and 35 today, probably buying a house between 150 and 250, And it starts a chain reaction off where the person that sells them that house turns around and buys a house between 250 and 4, and that person turns around and buys one between 350 and 5. It probably sells four houses for every first-time buyer there are. So when we talk to first-time buyers, one of the very first things we've got to talk about is our legal duties. And they include you have some lawful rights as a buyer. We have obedience to those lawful rights, loyalty to your interest above our own. In other words, we're not trying to sell you a house that we want you to buy. We're trying to sell you a house that you want to buy. We have to disclose material and pertinent facts. So part of that is not only about ourselves and our background, but the houses that we're showing you. And then there's confidentiality. Anything you tell us is held in strict confidence unless you give us express written agreement to release that information. And that could be financial, credit, urgency, motivation. It's nobody's business but yours and ours. And accounting for your dollars and paperwork and dates, and then reasonable care to, according to license laws. And I like to say, I'm not in sales, I'm a service provider. And I have to follow those duties as a service provider. Then we get down to representation. So we got some legal considerations and we got representation, which are also somewhat legal. As a buyer agent, if you want to make an offer on a property that I have listed or one that has been listed by my firm, I will have two clients with the same transaction, which is a higher level of responsibility. However, if you're just I started a little late in my thing. I'm going to back up and come forward. I represent many buyers and seller clients at the same time in a variety of transactions. Since I also represent other buyer clients, there are times when they may be interested in viewing some of the same properties that you're targeting. All client information is confidential, and I will not betray that trust. If you are interested in making an offer on a property, no offer details will be shared with other buyers or sellers under that. And I represent your interest when the seller is a for sale by owner or represented by an agent. As a buyer's agent, I represent your interest alone. And then if the other side of the transaction, this is where we were a minute ago, is by my listing or my agency, I also have some responsibilities to be equal to that client. So I provide equal treatment to both, disclose all materials, facts required by law. Each client is entitled to full confidentiality and market info. I'm required to review the New Jersey agency relationships form with you, and you know the alternatives, and let you know the alternatives and ramifications of your choices. So, as a buyer, I can represent you in one of two ways. As a buyer's agent means I work for you and you alone, or as a disclosed dual agent, which means my company or I am representing the seller as well, which is allowed in the state of New Jersey. I can't make any decisions for you, nor will I take responsibility for any of your choices. I can't guarantee to help you buy property for less than market value. I can't hide or misrepresent any material facts or defects about a property, even if I listed it. And I can't discriminate in any way, undermine human rights laws. And I can't collect any payouts or kickbacks, accept any rebates without your full knowledge and awareness. I also can't choose the neighborhood or community that you live in. I can't tell you whether the area is safe. I can't tell you what schools are better than others. And I can't guarantee you that the town planning or zoning commission will do. Since these decisions are subjective, I can provide you with the sources that can give you that information so you can make your own decision. So what I'm saying here is, as a buyer's representative, there's some things I have to do and there's some things I can't do. And they're pretty well stipulated by the real estate act. Written authorization. All consumers are entitled to mutual promises in writing, obtaining my legal duties and how I behave in a transaction. That's what we call a customer information statement. I respect the entitlement and am willing to represent your interest, but will require written authorization prior to viewing the property. Some agents, and this isn't just something I made up, this is a state law, need written authorization to tell you whether or not I'm going to act as a buyer's agent or a disclosed dual agent. Some agents may not feel providing you with written promises is necessary, but I believe you're entitled to a mutual commitment on how we partner to obtain your objectives. I respect the fact that many factors are important to your buying decisions. Stigmatized property is property that there has been a murder or suicide or felony. You have the right to ask and may want to consider a written request for information. If the seller or their agent has actual knowledge, they are obligated to disclose that. You may also choose to contact the local police. So this is all under due diligence. I started to say dual, but it's due diligence. I've had that happen in the past where I suspected something happened in a house, and after we made an offer and then they were going back for best and finals because it was multiple offers, I asked the agent if there was anything going on that we should know about, and he said, now that you've asked, I have to tell you, and that's the way it works. It turned out that somebody had died in the house suicidally, and the same thing would apply whether or not you were near a railroad track or under an airline approach pattern. If I know about it and you ask about it, I have to tell you about it. If you ask about it and I don't know about it, there's no way I can tell you about it. But I will not offer that information in order to sway you one way or another. That is the buyer's responsibility under his or her due diligence. Written agreement. You will have a thorough explanation of these terms in an agreement so that you can completely understand it. I'd be happy to provide you with a blank form so that you and your advisors may review it in advance. And if my firm changes representation, signing, retaining fees, you'll know in advance. And once we receive your written authorization, I'll begin to work for you. How am I paid? This is an interesting situation because there's a lot of misconception about how real estate agents get paid. When you buy, I receive a success fee from the proceeds of the sale. It makes no difference who has listed the property. I represent your interests. It doesn't matter what or when you purchase or if you spend a lot or spend a little. It's totally your decision to make, and I will not push you. My focus is to provide excellent service and help you obtain your objectives so that you can recommend me to your family and friends. Professional service fees. You don't owe me any money out of your pocket unless that is what you want to do. And I got to tell you, in my 14 years, I haven't seen anybody decide to give me extra money, so it doesn't happen very frequently. A buyer's gross offer has always funded the entire transaction, which allows the seller to deduct from the transaction brokerage fees, service fees, and additional debts owed. My firm expects a certain professional service fee, and you instruct me to collect this fee from the MLS or from the proceeds of the sale structured within an offer. If there's an amount offered in the MLS won't cover the amount in our agreement, you will know, and I decide if you want to see that property. So, in other words, if there's a very low fee being offered, which happens a lot of time when I don't even want the property shown, or it's being handled by a wholesaler, I may decide I don't want to represent you on that property because I can't cover my expenses. I'll tell you that in advance. If you still want to see the property, I will show it to you. But I'm not going to hide the property from you. I'm just not going to pursue it with you. The loan process. Prior to showing, your qualifications for a loan must be secured. So we're not saying once you find a house, we're saying before we get started, I need to know if you're qualified. If you'll be paying cash, then you need to provide me with verification of those assets. Some lenders are better than others, and I have worked with many and will discuss your loan needs and who may be right for you. If you're already pre-qualified and pre-approved, I will need to know who your lender is, and be provided with full verifying documentation. If my clients have had negative experiences with the lender, I'm obligated to tell you. Loan verification. Two letters of financial qualification are needed. First, a letter or blueprint structure of your offer detailing the loan type, the rate, the seller concessions law. It's called the contract for purchase. Second is a generic statement from your lender stating that your credit report and financials have been reviewed and your lender deems you are worthy for the amount you are seeking. No amount or property address is stated on this letter since it's attached to any offer you make. Now, I got to tell you, if we're going to look at a $400,000 house and make a $375,000 initial offer, we're going to make that letter state that you're qualified for $375,000. We're not going to tell them that. It just makes good business sense. Let's talk about the selection process. And the selection process is fairly in-depth depending on what it is you're looking for. You may be receiving property updates from a variety of other general websites. The information you receive from our MLS system is far more detailed and tailored to your specific criteria and budget range. So once you talk to an attorney, and once you and I finish this session, I shouldn't say an attorney, but a loan officer, I know where your price point is, and I know what it is you're looking for, and that's what we're going to go by. Drive by the properties and then determine if you want to view them so I can book your showing appointments. And if you do not see anything you like within your budget range, you may need to reassess the price range. And I get people from both angles on that. I get people saying that, in effect, I have a beer budget and a champagne taste. That's typically the case. But I also get people saying, I know what I want. And what I want is to be able to work on one salary, just in case there's some sort of upset in the financial world and one of us gets laid off. And I'm going to be a lot more secure that way. And I don't want to buy the house based on both salaries. So I see it work both ways. Showings. This is interesting because most sellers require advance notice to book a showing. Some provide confirmations earlier, and I know it's better. I know the better it will be for you. Reserve my time in advance, and I want to be available to provide your attention that you deserve for you. If I've already been committed to assist another client, I will attempt to secure another agent within my firm to assist you. When you determine that the property you want to buy, my professional abilities really come into play at that time. Open houses. Licensing regulations prevent agents from interfering with another agent's client representation, and most agents respect the choices of others. If the agent does not ask, just inform them that you are represented and sign my name on a register instead of yours. No agent can prevent you from entering, nor can they say that if you do, you must be represented by them and write your offer through them if interested. Please collect their business card and call me immediately, since that is a serious legal breach. New construction, I'm going to skip over because we really don't do a lot of new construction in New Jersey, but the rules apply there. And then for sale by owner, this is a slippery slope. What if their sale by owner means is that the seller of this house has made the choice to represent themselves? And they can't make that choice for you since representation is your right. Generally, they are overpriced, have heavy debt, have some mutual material defect, I should say, not mutual, and prefer not to disclose, don't want to pay a specialist, or prefer to do it yourself. I don't need the seller to pay my fee since your offer includes it anyway. We will just need to see the property to determine if you want to make an offer. So if there's a for sale by owner, you are telling me through an agency representation with you that you will pay my fee if they're not going to pay it. I don't typically like to work that way because I don't want to, in effect, have you pay fees that you probably shouldn't be paying. And what I'm saying here is if it's a for sale by owner and the for sale side, which usually will pay my fee, won't pay the fee, then I think there's an issue here, and we need to consider whether or not you really want to make an offer, and there's other things to be discussed. Feedback. After a seller's property has been shown, some listing agents will ask for feedback. Since feedback can divulge your confidential impressions or intentions and potentially undermine the future negotiations, I will thank the agent for the opportunity to show, but won't provide any additional comments. Should you wish us to provide comments, you will hold me harmless from that decision. Any info we receive, you will know. Market analysis. When you have made a final choice, I will provide you with a general market analysis on the property, identifying comparable sold properties, feature for feature, and similar neighborhoods. The price you pay will depend on many variables: market conditions, amount of available inventory, seller's personal and financial situation, etc. If you really want the property, bid seriously. Legal representation. You are entitled to consult with your legal representative at any time during the process. Typically, we don't get a lawyer involved until we have a contract and an agreement in terms between the buyer and seller. The reasoning being that attorneys cost money, and there's no need to spend any of that money until we have an agreement in terms. But you have the right to talk to an attorney. Please remember that timely response is important. We cannot accept responsibility for the seller accepts another offer before your lawyer responds. One of the other reasons we don't get attorneys involved, because they do take a while. And it's important to select an attorney that specializes in real estate to minimize the occurrence of potential problems within the process. The offer process. When you are ready, I will write an offer on your behalf, including the terms and conditions that protect your interests. All components and contingencies of the offer, along with the process, will be explained, providing you with options, alternatives, and ramifications. Remember that all decisions are yours to make, and I can't be responsible if things don't work out the way you had hoped they would. Confidentiality on the offers. Once you make an offer, which is written and delivered to the seller's agent, there is no implied guarantee that the terms and the conditions of your offer will remain confidential. You can have the seller or listing agent sign a confidentiality statement prior to us representing, or I should say us presenting the offer. In a seller's marketplace, there may be little you can do without potentially losing out. In a buyer's marketplace, you may have some more time, but there is still no guarantee. This will be your decision to make, and you will hold us harmless in that decision. Attorney review. Now, this is an interesting process, because your attorney review process gives you the right to back out of the deal, or gives the seller the right to back out of the deal for the first 3 business days after a signed contract has received all signatures. So if we get signed contracts back on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are those 3 days. It's a 3-day period, not counting Saturdays. Sundays are holidays. I think the Saturdays have been changed. I think they're now counted. And either side can change their mind for no reason at all. And as a buyer, you are ahead to start and get out of attorney review as soon as possible. And the reason for that is other offers can come in and you don't want to get outbid. So the attorney review process can last anywhere from 15 minutes to weeks. Attorney review processes typically last less than a week, and it's dependent upon the availability of the 2 attorneys. One attorney may have some court time booked and is not available, and the other attorney may have to sit and wait for them to get back to him several days. But once we come to the end of attorney review, you have a commitment to buy that house, and they have a commitment to sell that house to you. So you, in effect, cannot go out and buy another house in that house's place unless you have had an inspection issue and they let you out of the contract, or something else along those lines. and they cannot turn around and sell it to somebody else unless something similar happens. Now, I won't say that other offers won't come in, but usually if the buyer has accepted your offer and has this much invested in you, they're going to let you at least maybe match that offer. They'd have to show it to you. Or in most cases, they're going to say, it's not much more, and I like the offer I've got, and I'm not willing to restart this whole process. So let's run through those few steps. We go out and we look at houses. We select a house. We make an offer, which is a written contract. To subordinate that offer, we put in a mortgage guarantee letter from your financial institution guaranteeing that you're qualified to make that mortgage. The buyer submits the offer to the seller, agent to agent. You never talk to the seller at this point in time. And the selling agent then takes it and talks it over with the seller. They then in turn get back and usually make a counteroffer. And that counteroffer then is sent from the selling agent to the buyer's agent. The buyer's agent reviews it with you, the buyer, and you make a counteroffer back or accept. And that goes back and forth two or three times typically, and then in effect, you start attorney review, both sides agree, you sign a final contract, it goes into attorney review, you have the 3-day right of rescission period, and once attorney review is done, then you can inspect the house. So from the point you wrote the offer, considering that it might have taken 2 or 3 business days to go back and forth of offers and counteroffers, to the point where you start attorney review, could take about a week. And I would say another week for the attorney review process. So 2 weeks have gone by now, and all you've got is a finalized, generally accepted offer that's out of attorney review. This is the first point, in most cases, that you can do an inspection. And there's a legal reason for that. If they let you inspect before this point, you could change your mind and back out. They want you committed to this sale or purchase on your part before you start doing inspections. And then there's a whole set of parts of the contract that talk about the inspection process. The inspection phase allows the buyer a third-party assessment of the structure and mechanical components, even though the property may be listed as is. You may select any inspector that you choose, but if any of our past clients have had a bad experience, I am obligated to disclose that you may not require to hold us harmless from that decision. I need to disclose that to you and may require to hold you, have you hold us harmless. If the listing agent or seller remain, they may not interfere. The inspection process, typically after conclusion of attorney review, now under contract, you are allowed 7 days to conduct a home inspection. The seller has 3 options. Remediate everything on the list, never see this happen. Remediate nothing, sometimes I see this happen. You can get out of the contract and have any money return if that's the case. If he remediates everything, you're bound by the contract. That's the only time I see this happen. And then negotiate items. And we proceed. And then what happens is you have a repair request. Inspectors will submit a written report to the buyer and the buyer's agent. If repairs are requested, it is best to have them made in writing with a copy of the page of the inspector's report. I will review the repair request with you and help you assess your options. I will then formulate a written response based on your instructions and attempt to arrive at a mutually agreeable solution. So this is sort of some give and take between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent. I'm representing you in most cases, and the other agent's representing the seller. If it's I work for Coldwell Banker, a Coldwell Banker transaction on both sides, then Coldwell Banker is working for both, but they may still have different agents, a listing agent and a selling agent. If, in effect, I've listed the property, and that happens very infrequently, well, then I have to disclose that to you and that I will be representing both sides. In those cases, we typically have the manager represent one side, so there's limited knowledge of the other side's motivation. finalizing the repair phase. Once agreed, repair items will be addressed after receipt of a written mortgage commitment prior to closing. Sometimes a lender will send an inspector to the property to verify that the repairs have been made, or will provide paid written receipts from licensed, which is the latter is what usually happens. I never see a lender send. The only time I see a lender go to the property and inspect it themselves, not such check that other things have been done, is when it's an FHA. They have some very stringent rules, and they do go out and make people do what seems like silly things at times, such as I saw one where the foundation, which was sand coated on the outside, cinder block foundation, needed to be painted in order for them. It was like a $200 Mr. Fix-It kind of thing, and they then approved it. Don't know why they needed it. They needed it, and they weren't backing away. Customary contingencies, initial and additional deposits, mortgage insurance, inspection contingencies, seller concessions, rights for first refusal, and your lawyer can provide us with additional prospective language. So let's go through this. Initial and additional deposits. We usually put $1,000 down within a week after making the offer. And then we, in effect, put probably the balance of 5%, it's a good round number, down 10 days after the attorney review is completed, which gives us time to conclude inspections. Mortgage insurance and inspection contingency, you will need to have these completed before we can go into the closing process. And then seller concessions, they may turn around. I'm going through one right now. It needs about a $6,500 septic repair. And the seller is saying, I'll give you the $6,500, you fix it. And the buyer is saying, as long as I can close, that's fine. Let's move along. So that's a seller's concession. Right of first refusal, option to purchase, lease options. These are too deep to get into in this discussion, but they all come up. And I get a lot of people wanting to rent and saying, I want the rent to be applied in a big percentage toward my payments, and then I have the right to buy. Never have seen that happen. You have to pick a date and a price, and nobody can do that because nobody has a crystal ball. But those are the types of contingencies. There's a variety of ways to reassure that your offer was presented. When permitted by the seller, I can personally present it, although this doesn't happen. I fax the offer to the agent, typically, and I can attach a verification presentation for the seller to sign. That's more typical. If there are no other offers, the process is usually straightforward. If multiple offers exist, I will discuss and process your options. Then we get into the negotiation phase. Sometimes things just don't work out. No matter how you're willing to bend, each scenario has a personal backdrop that can be often interfered. Take the time you need and start again. If negotiations are successful, I will secure all necessary initials and signatures. All parties and others authorized by you will receive the complete disclosures. If the negotiation is not successful, then in effect, we probably wouldn't have gotten into a attorney review to start with. And this negotiation also on repair items, and then your attorney is going to be. Once we start attorney review and go through the attorney review process, the inspection requests have to be handled by your attorney. Any contract extensions, performance dates required, evidence of written satisfaction completion, all of this is fairly rare, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. Your mortgage contingency, though, we need to talk about that. Within a predetermined time frame, a written mortgage commitment can be expected from the buyer's lender. Usually that's 30 days after, roughly speaking, the offer has been accepted. Usually it takes 2 months to close, and at the end of 30 days, we want to have the inspection accomplished, we want to have the house appraised, and we want to have a mortgage guarantee letter so that the seller can move on confidently and know that he's going to close in another 30 days. If extra time is required, a written extension can be requested. The seller can decide whether to grant additional time or not, depending on his or her own circumstances, and I will advise you of your options. Closing countdown. Odds and ends. Verify all requests required repairs. This is done in two ways. There's a pre-closing inspection, which is usually done a week before the inspection to make sure that all the things that were supposed to be fixed appear to be fixed. Some things are evident, like if the air conditioner wasn't working and it's now working, that's fairly evident, but you're also going to want to get written receipts by professional contractors for everything that was done. You also need to organize, and so that's the first inspection. The second inspection is either the day of or the night before closing, and that is the inspection where you walk through to make sure they didn't bump any holes in the walls and everything that you expect to be in a house is there, because this is the way you're going to own the house, the way you see it that day. If something comes up from the first inspection, it could hold the closing up 3 days. If something comes up in the second inspection, same rule applies, and you don't want that to happen because you're planning to close that afternoon or tomorrow morning. You want to make sure that that's why we do it in two parts. So second inspection, no surprises. First inspection, just verify that all the repairs have been made. You need to organize your packing and movers, contact the utilities, transfer to utilities, and then you, unless advanced contractual obligations have been made, get occupancy at the point of closing. So let's talk about the closing. This is always done at the buyer's attorney's office. It's a ballpark date. It gets set more finitely as we get into the process. And then within a week or so of the closing, maybe 10 days, we nail it down and we have a firm closing date. Most closings proceed without incident since all details have been handled and agreed. And myself or someone from my team will be present to ensure that everything that we agreed upon stays that way. And then post-closing, I'm always here to help you if I can. If you need general information or assistance, please contact me anywhere along the line, but especially after closing. And also, please keep me in mind when you're friends. That's our standard overview. I just want to go back through it and talk about a few items in a little more detail. But first, let me get a few more of our paid commercials out of the way, and I'll be right back.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
So it's Joe Peters from Coldwell Banker. I'm based in Somerset County, but I live here in Hunterdon and Clinton, and I cover both counties. And I worked exclusively in Hunterdon County up till about 2 years ago. So I have a very good grasp of the Hunterdon County area and live right in the center of it in the Beaverbrook complex. We're talking, and I work for Coldwell Banker. We're talking about buyer counseling and what buyers need to know. But let's talk about the types of buyers we have, because they vary. The very first-time buyer more than likely has nothing to sell, or he wouldn't be called what I just called him, a first-time buyer. So they only have to worry about buying and getting into the property that they're looking for. But it will start off a chain, as I said before, of maybe three or four buys and sells. So the second-time buyer probably needs to have his sale completed in order to complete his purchase. And that could be one of those contingencies we talk about. In other words, he can't buy his second house unless his first house sells. He just needs the assets out of it. And that becomes a little more complicated of a situation. But since we're talking about buying, I'm not going to get into it. I never see where it's just absolutely smooth. We do one closing at 12 and another one at 4, and everybody's happy. There's usually a couple of days, even weeks in between when that happens. But then there's the right size buyer. And a right size buyer is probably somebody who's now an empty nester, has a 4-bedroom center hall colonial, and is contemplating, what am I going to do? I don't need this great big house. I don't need the maintenance. I don't need the heating costs, and I don't need to keep it furnished the way I used to. And a lot of times that right-sized buyer has to take a look at what they have and maybe reconfigure it if they can, or if they need to be on one floor and that's impossible, then maybe they need to put it up for sale and buy something that's more right-sized for them. We used to say downsizing, but it's gotten out of vogue. Right-sizing connotates just that. Let's say you're in a 4-bedroom center hall colonial, and there's a way to take the living room that you haven't sat in for 10 years and make it into a first-floor master, put a bathroom down the end of it, expand that half bath into a full bath. Well, that's right-sizing, too. It doesn't mean you have to sell a house and buy a house. It just means I'm going to reconfigure the house I'm in. But I know we're at the point, near retirement, not ready to retire, but getting nearer to it, where we're thinking our next place should be a one-floor place. If there is a second floor, it will be for a guest bedroom or a hobby room or maybe an office that can be used on occasion, but all living will be on the first floor. And that's also right-sizing. So you would probably go into a 55-plus community, age-restricted, we call it, or maybe even a condo so that you can achieve that. And a lot of times condos are on one floor, and they're either on the first floor, or you can get an elevator where you can get to that one-floor type of living. So each one of these has a different set of situations where something either needs to be sold or, in the case of the first-time buyer, nothing needs to be sold. That needs to be understood. But this is where the buyer-seller relationship is so important. If you're selling to a first-time buyer, that first-time buyer is probably buying, making a lot less money than you made when you were a first-time buyer, because we're not paying, including benefits, what we used to pay. I think a rule of thumb for the last generation, 20 years, let's call it, 20, 25 years, is that we're probably paying two-thirds of what we used to pay if you include stock options and bonuses. So today's first-time buyer versus a first-time buyer from somewhere in the mid-90s is probably not being able to afford what we used to be able to afford. But there's other things that weren't covered in this overview that buyers need to take into consideration as well. One is their job. You really need three things. You need a job, you need some credit, and you need some money. You can cut it any way you want. You need all three of those things. A job, if you're pushing carriages at Walmart, you're probably not going to be qualified to buy a house. If you're a college grad or an associate degree and you've been in a job two or three years in an industry and you may have moved once in that same industry upwards, that's probably going to be a pretty good qualification. So that's one thing. Then you need some credit. Your credit score probably has to be above 700. That's your FICO score. But in some cases, we can get people in with the 650 to 700. Depending on the amount of money they have down payment. So the credit score is important as well. And then you need some cash. And how much cash do you need? You need about 2 to 3% to close. That's attorney fees, closing fees. You're going to prepay a year's taxes. You're going to prepay your homeowners association if there's one involved. You're going to pay a year's insurance. All of those things add up. And we say 2 to 3% there. Plus, if you don't put 20% down, then you're probably going to have to pay some form of PMI insurance or private mortgage insurance. So most people strive to put down as much as they can so they don't have to get into that insurance payment. How do you judge for yourself whether or not you're qualified to buy a house? Well, what you do is you take your earnings, and let's just use real round numbers, and I'm not saying anybody as a first-time buyer makes this kind of money. But if you earned $100,000, 30% of $100,000 would be $30,000. You would have $30,000 divided by 12, and if I'm not mistaken, that's going to come out to, I'm going to do it on a calculator real quick just to take a peek. 30,000 divided by 12 is $2,500 a month that you could apply towards credit, I should say, towards mortgage, interest, insurance, and homeowners association. So for every $2,500 you need in purchasing power, you need $100,000 in earnings power. Or cut it in half, for every $1,250 you need in purchasing power, and that's whether you're going to rent or if you're going to buy. Usually it's cheaper to buy than rent, but you need $50,000. So if one of you is earning $50,000 and the other one is earning $75,000, then you have $125,000, you're pretty good shape. You probably can afford in the low $3,000s if you want to spend all of it. But that's the upfront money, 30%. Then there's a back-end proportion. And the back-end considers that you probably have some student debt. You probably have some other payments like a car payment, a few credit cards. And all of that added together can't be more than 43%. So I had a buyer recently that had a lot of cash, but he also had a lot of bills. And he was up in a 57, 58%. Couldn't get him a mortgage, even though he had a substantial amount of cash. Nobody would loan him the money because it's high risk. So let's run through them again. You need a job. You need some credit. Your credit has to be within the proportions of the front end and back end, 30% up front and 43% back end. And then you need some closing money, money to close with, money for your down payment. If you've got all of that and an agent that can find you a house in a market that we really don't have a lot of availability in, you're in pretty good shape because we will eventually find you the house that you want and you will make an offer and have it accepted and months from now be moving in. It may take a year to make that happen in this market, especially in the very popular price points. Anywhere from $250 to $500, it's tough to find quickly what you're looking for, but it's there and we'll find it. So this has been Joe Peters. Coldwell Banker. I can be reached locally at 908-238-0118. If I'm not already talking to somebody else, you might be surprised that I pick up the line. And I'm easy to talk with. I'm not pushy, and I'd love to help you out. Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker. I'm going to play my commercial one more time, and then we're going to go to news.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The potential of the United States in terms of what it's done has been wonderful, but we can do better, and we're going to.
President Trump speaking to the General Assembly of the United Nations today saying America can do better, but also the United Nations can do better.
The potential of the United Nations is unlimited, and I really believe, I've met your representatives and I know you well, you are going to do things that will be epic.
A vigil at Georgia Tech University for a student that was shot by police officers after the student came at them with a knife, marred by violence. Several dozen people marched to the campus police station, setting a police SUV on fire. At least three people facing charges of inciting a riot and battery of an officer. Two officers suffered minor injuries during the confrontation. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.